Now, I want you to grab your Bible because I don't want to waste any time. Grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll see how far we get today. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. All of us have been reading the first part of Matthew chapter 5 that most everybody knows as the Beatitudes. That word be meaning blessed. And it gives some characteristics of a believer, really, and how we're blessed when, you know, as the first one in chapter 3 says, to catch anybody up, blessed are the poor in spirit. And all that literally means is not poor in any other way, except that we have this recognition that there can be a spiritual poverty, but in not a bad sense. It's just that we're casting aside all self-dependency and we're seeking God's grace. I mean, we don't look down on somebody, in other words. We're not holier than thou, goody two-shoes type people. No, we have the right kind of spirit, you see. And then chapter 4, the second way that we're blessed is people who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And when you really see the word norm, it's not talking mourning in a bad sense. It's just those who experience a type of, lack of a better word, sorrow for repentance. I mean, you just have this heart that, you know, when people do wrong and they're repenting, that, man, you're just like, oh, God bless them. And you know, not that you take on, I know people that have called me before and said things like, man, my child is sick in the hospital for whatever reason, and I wish that I could take it, you know, and get it away from him and just receive it myself. No, don't do that, because that's Jesus' job. He's the one that said, cast all your cares on him. But these kind of people who mourn, they're going to be comforted because you just have this, Father, I apologize that I did that. I hurt you. And I mean, those are people are blessed because then they want to do right. And then the next one, the third one was blessed, verse 5. Blessed are the meek because they'll inherit the earth. When you study out meek, we're not talking about weakness, but rather controlled strength, praise God. In other words, it carries the idea of humility and self-discipline. Man, you're meek. You're disciplined. I've been teaching my son that. When something goes wrong in the rodeo arena, that's not a time to blow it and you know, get emotional in a way where, you know, he blames his horse and, you know, spurs and whoops up on his horse like it was his horse's fault. Well, sometimes it is, but you still have to have control and just train and have a little bit of patience to, you know, to make your horse do right, but not out of, it's kind of like disciplining a child. You don't want to ever discipline a child in anger because you're going to whoop them a little harder. But man, when you do it because they just did wrong and you bust their rear or whatever, then it's done without anger, where you do something, you know, out of anger instead of just doing it with control. And we're going to discipline the kids because I think our society has stopped us in a lot of ways from disciplining our kids the way God says. And I'm just here to tell you, a good old butt whooping works. At least it did for me. I didn't want to do it again. Amen. I had to whoop Seth like 5 times, like in 2 minutes one time. Jamie told me the other day, she said, yeah, I remember having to whoop it like the whole day I whooped London. After that one day, she never had to whip her again. Amen. All right. And then the next one we talked about last week and we finished here is how blessed are people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when you hunger for something, you just want to get filled. And we kind of talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, getting filled with the Spirit of God. And did a little small, quickly study on tongues and things that they didn't teach us in the Baptist church and that we didn't really understand. And I talk to any of my Baptist friends growing up, they'll tell you that they just don't understand the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the prayer language that God gave every one of you if you just receive it. But there's something about receiving the infilling of the Spirit of God, not just once, but man, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God over and over. And then the evidence of it is praying in the Spirit, that word called tongues that we were taught growing up that was of the devil. Never understood that, of course. Why? I know now why the devil came against it, because the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, your individual language, I'm not talking about the gifting of tongues with an interpretation. If I did a message in tongues right now, then there would be an interpretation of it, and it would be to the glory of God, and God would just interpret that tongue. All of you, though, have a prayer language, and those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, they want all of God. They don't want to, you know, be afraid of what is that tongues, you know, because I don't understand tongues. Well, Jesus spoke in tongues, so I want to. And then the Bible says that your prayer language is only God understands, which means no man understands it, which means the devil doesn't understand it. And if he doesn't understand it, he can't come against it. So when I pray in the Spirit, and I do it all the time by myself, example, when I start praying like that by myself, when I take a breath, I'll always go, because I don't understand that. The Bible says you won't. So don't get hung up on that. You're praying in the Spirit to the Lord, and He's directing that prayer. And even though you don't understand it, it's the exact prayer He needs. So when I take a breath, I'll just say, well, I believe that and receive that. Because there's no telling what the Spirit of God is needing me to pray about. I don't want to pray the old clanging cymbaled prayer that's like a, you know, the same old prayer over and over and over. And we get to do that a lot, but not when you got your prayer language. So in Bible study, we get to explain that in a lot of depth that you can't really do in a service like this, because you really need to sometimes raise your hand and say, okay, what does this mean? And how do you do that? Well, you find out in Bible study, and they're able to just explain, all right, let's explain what the second baptism in Acts chapter 1 talks about. The first baptism, remember, is the water, death, burial, and resurrection. That's after you get saved. And the resurrection of the new you from the old you. But then Acts chapter 1 says, but you shall receive the second baptism not many days from now, so that you'll have the dunamis power to be a witness. You know, that man, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have fear of telling someone about Jesus. You'll do it with boldness. And I'm not talking about where you beat people up with the Bible. I'm just talking about you're not going to be in fear to tell people, because that's why it says you'll receive power to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, man, you should check that out, because it says blessed are those that just hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man, I want everything about this Bible to come to pass in my life. I want to dig into it in all areas. That's why everybody knows that I didn't have any money going to college. I had to have a job, a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship, a Pell Grant, a student loan. I did whatever it took to survive in college. And then one day I was wondering, why in the world do I have to, you know, have all of this, and my friends have plenty of money to buy trucks and trailers and horses. And what the Lord began to teach me is, because I hunger and thirst to live in God's ways of doing things. I want to seek the kingdom of God, Matthew, and His righteousness. And then all the things will be added unto us, right? And so I started seeking, what does the Bible say about finances? And that's why y'all know, and I've said it so many times behind this podium, 2,036 times God talks about money in this Bible. Now, why would He talk about it that many times if He didn't want us to have it? And everybody takes scriptures out of, you know, money's the root of all evil. You know, and y'all have heard me say that, and it doesn't say that, by the way. It says the love of it is the root of all evil. And so I just begin, well, that's hunger and thirsting. I want to know, what does the Bible say about something I'm deficient in? I just didn't have very much money. I mean, we had to win at rodeos growing up in order to go to the next one. And it's a tough way to do it because there's lots of pressure then. I want to hunger and thirst, see, for righteousness' sake. And that's what that means, because when you're hungry, you won't get filled up. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and then, let's look at this next one, praise God. Verse 7, blessed. Now, remember, blessed is, it literally means, Ron, that you're happy. Morris, you are happy. I prayed for your sister, and I just pray peace in Jesus' name. But here's something that you got to remember. When the Bible starts talking about being blessed here, it's talking about being happy or supremely blessed. So when it uses that word blessed, verse 7, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here's the first thing I want you to see is seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. Did you notice it says, blessed are the merciful? When you show mercy, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about that. When you study out this word merciful, it's a Greek word, elemon, and when you study Greek, it usually goes to another Greek word to help you. It's related to a word called eleo, which is to have mercy. Eleos, to activate compassion. But really what this is, this word merciful, is it's compassion for the poor. It's a kind of compassionate, sympathetic, merciful, and sensitive word, combining tendencies with action. Or it literally means it's a person that has this quality, and when you have this quality, it finds out that you begin to have a merciful nature about you. I mean, it's amazing, this kind of person, because they're charitable. They want relief for different people. And when you find out this word mercy, it's just, you start having such a compassion for people. And man, we need that today. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about we don't have this boldness to stand on God's word when we speak to the devil and we speak to the mountain. Because man, I have a boldness about me. I mean, if you've ever been around me very much, a lot of times, and I've had it over 20 years of this church, I've had people say, man, I'm scared of him. But once you get to know me, you'll find out that I actually operate with lots of mercy. Because as my spiritual dad taught me, and then my actual natural dad, they all taught me that when you counsel with people, the first thing you should say is, it could have happened to me. It could have been me that was in that spot. Well, there's something about having mercy for people, y'all. And it seems like we get so, especially a real religious person, I mean, they're beating people up left and right when they do wrong. Don't you think it would be better to let the Spirit of God deal with people than you? I'm not saying that when they ask you what do you think about that you tell them the truth out of love. You know, no, we believe in marriage between a natural-born man and a natural-born woman. It's amazing what you have to say nowadays, of course. Believe it or not, there's denominations that don't believe that. There's people that call themselves pastors with a congregation that are, a man that is married to a man. And I'm telling you, there's some boldness that we need to stand on, which is the truth. Because the truth will make you free. And you've got to have that boldness to stand on God's principles and not allow the enemy to sway you from your belief. Because in the last days, listen to me, in the last days, there's going to be a lot of people that turn away from the faith. And it's going to take some bold preachers and some bold saints to stand up for God's word. But we've got to be merciful because we are not the judge. We're just standing on God's principles. And when someone tries to tell us that Jesus is not Lord, no, we need to stand up and say He is. He's got a name above all names, and I believe in it. Yeah, but He doesn't heal everyone. You know, healing went away with the old church, the old covenant. And I'm like, well, it didn't for me, because the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not talking about not having some boldness to stand up for your principles, but we can't be the judge. I don't beat everybody up because they drink in the rodeo culture, and they drink a lot. They offer me, in the first of the years when they didn't know me, they all offered me alcohol. I just don't do it. I just don't. I'm not the judge, though. I'm going to preach and teach people the repercussions of that spirit of alcohol that tries to get on people. And we've seen it in lots of families. We've seen it in my family, my wife's family. And she'll tell you, her dad, now in heaven, didn't see both of his daughters' weddings or neither one of the four children that was birthed. He was in jail. About 8 or 9 DWIs to do that. He was the sweetest man. I loved that man. Because there's something about having mercy and not being the judge. I just loved him. For me personally, the conviction not to do it is strong. And I try to get people to understand that enemy will pervert good things. And he has alcohol. He's pervert. Matter of fact, people get mad if you mention it. Don't you meddle in my business. No, I'm not meddling in your business. I just want you to know the danger of that spirit. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But there's something about being merciful. I don't beat those people up. Guess what they do? They run to me. Because I'm not the judge. He's the judge. And if they've got a problem with something, it might not be alcohol. It could be the littlest things to people, but big to them. Then we've got to have so much mercy that we let the Spirit of God deal with them so that we don't become the judge. Amen? And that's really what this is talking about. Blessed. Happy. Superly blessed. Supremely blessed are the merciful. And if you're merciful instead of holier than thou, trying to be better than someone because you have Jesus? No, thank God you have Jesus, because without Him, we would be in trouble. God, I love the Lord, though, because He's so gracious. But I still hunger and thirst. I still want to have mercy. And because of it, I just happen to be known in the rodeo world as not a crazy preacher. Because trust me, I run from some of them. I mean, they'll beat you up, buddy. Woo. No, we got to have mercy. Amen for merciful people. Amen. Look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know what that word pure means? Without blemish. clean. I've always said that, don't have a past. Man, that's hard for people, because I've got a past. And sometimes by example, I'll talk about the past only as an example to in a message possibly, but I very seldom think about what I did in college for 2 years. I'll use it as an example because it's relatable and people go, okay, I did that too. Oh, thank God, God forgave me. And because really the things that I did in college for 2 years running from the Lord, I knew was wrong. I knew it was not right. And, but the devil wants you to remember all that. And you've got to remember that when you're pure, when you're clean, when you don't have a past, oh, that's the best way to be. Because people will use your past. But our God, because of mercy here, is the type of God that when you ask God to forgive you for whatever you did sin-wise, He forgets it and remembers it no more. How many would go ahead and clap for that kind of a God? I mean, that's a wonderful God, right? Because He's not beating us up constantly like we do to ourselves or like we do to others sometimes because we're not understanding this word mercy. But being pure in heart, for they shall see. This is Jesus talking. They shall see God. And again, pure simply means that you're without blemish, you're clean, you're undefiled, you're pure. This word literally describes the physical cleanliness that you see in Matthew chapter 23, verse 26 when you read it. It's a ceremonial purity. Sin pollutes. It defiles. But the blood of Jesus washes away all sin, as has made every single believer pure. And when you understand that, you're blessed. Listen to me. You're pure. Because when you gave Jesus your heart, remember? And you asked Jesus to come into your life, and you were born again, you became pure. Now, you may do some things that make you that aren't pure, like sin. But that's what the blood was shed for. It covers a multitude of sin. Sin may abound in these last days, mainly with unbelievers. Because a believer gets convicted, right? A believer, the Lord convicts, but the devil's the one that condemns. So you got to understand that the blood was shed for you. It's made you pure, praise God. When you make a mistake, confess it and don't do it again. Because that's part of being meek. It's part of having that mourning, being you when you mourn in verse 4. That you just have this heart of repentance, you see. Man, I love the pure in heart because those are just the people that really understand who they are in Christ. And that's us. But you're going to see God when you're pure in heart. Those are the people like old Peter when he was just walking and his shadow healed. I mean, people were healed by getting in the shadow of Jesus and of Peter. I mean, there's something about you and who you are in Christ. There's something about you and the way you walk in that purity, praise God. All Jesus, though, not us, right? You constantly have to remind yourself that it's all about Jesus. But I just want to be blessed with the understanding that Jesus made us pure, praise God. And it was all because of the blood. The other day we prayed for blood issues. You remember that if you were here a few weeks ago and the Lord just, had us, if you was having any kind of blood issue, circulation or whatever. Well, how many of you know that man, you need to understand that God's given you a blood, infusion or transfusion or whatever? Because, man, he'll make that blood right when there's kind of the curse trying to come in on the blood. No, you got to remind yourself that even though we live in the sinful world, we don't live of it. And even though the curse is around us and we see the bad things that are happening and we hear the bad things, they don't affect a believer unless you let it. All things are possible to him that believe. I just want to be blessed, because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Look at the next one. We'll probably close right here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, I love this, because I'm like this a lot. I'm a peacemaker, man. I don't want trouble. I want to see peace, praise God. You know what peace is? Reconciliation. I mean, what ruins a lot of marriages? They start arguing and they get ticked off over little bitty things. And if they're not dealt with, they'll cause that D word called divorce. Me and my wife have never even said that word in our marriage, ever. Because I know how hurtful it is, especially with people that's been through it. A peacemaker, though, is reconciliation, because that's what God wants, reconciling relationships back together. What do you mean you fell out of love? Your mama. Fall back into it. Don't just give up. But there's something about being a peacemaker, reconciliation. Jesus prioritized the ministry of human, I wrote down, reconciliation in a statement, showing peacemaking as the birthright and the birth assignment of God's sons and daughters. All of us should be a peacemaker, y'all. Peace is often hard won. It came at a great cost to Jesus, because that's all he did was he healed the sick, raised the dead, constantly just trying to be a peacemaker in the Israel region. And as y'all know now, that's why the word of God says, bless Israel, so that you'll be blessed. Don't you dare curse Israel. Every time our government curses Israel in some way, we have major issues. Now, thank God we're all protected because of the blood of Jesus and we're born again people. But bless Israel. I pray for them constantly. Why? Well, because they're God's chosen people, and look what's happening. They're being attacked from all sides. From the south, that's where all those people came and killed thousands of people the other day some type of festival. Now they're getting attacked from the north. And I mean, they're raining rockets down like you never seen. And now Iran is close to them, shooting missiles at them. I mean, they're under attack like you never seen. But yet we still have people in America against Israel. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to see peace come to our land. A peacemaker is willing to give up his perceived rights as he pursues the path of seeking and advancing harmony among individuals, among families, among nations, so that they can experience the true peace of God that, matter of fact, the Bible says surpasses understanding. A lot of things we don't understand, but man, when you got peace. I've taught people, listen, this is how you hear from God. When you're praying about something, and you're asking God for direction, or you need to know about this or that, when you got true peace, that's God. But if you don't have peace, you need to stand. Remember, the word says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand, therefore. And keep standing until you get peace. Because that's God saying, nope, that's not good timing. Don't do that yet. Or he might be saying, no bueno por nada. Don't do that, son. That's not where I've called you to be. Get on that perfect will of God. Because, man, that's part of being a peacemaker. Amen. Man, when you experience the peace of God, that's God's love. Romans 12 and 18. We can become the kind of peacemakers if we're just willing to walk in step with the Lord. And when we do that and we're constantly seeking His wisdom, James chapter 1, I was so proud of Seth, and he's got a girlfriend that goes to school in Oklahoma State. And he said, "Hey, Dad, you know, we're starting to really pray and things." And I said, "You know what you need to get in the habit of, you know, since you want to talk to her all the time on the phone?" I said, "Get in the habit of," we're driving to El Paso the other day. I think it was Wednesday. And we're headed to the border to get some steers from Mexico. And it was on the way back. I had about 21 big steers in the trailer. And we're coming home. And I said, "You know what you need to get in the habit of is reading some scripture every night. Just, I don't care if it's one." And if it was me, I'd start in James chapter 1. Because that's where it says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. He'll give you liberally. But before it says that, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And it starts talking about patience and things like that. And he immediately, I don't know what you call it. They don't text nowadays. They snap. Whatever a snap is. He snapped her. Is that what you call it? This is a sidetrack real fast. It's 11:49. He started talking about happy days. And I said, "Oh yeah, Fonzarelli. When he snapped, girls came." Have y'all seen that show or not? He didn't even know what it was. I said, that's happy days, man. That's the Fonz. He was slick back and cool. And he started studying about the Fonz. And I said, "Yeah, when the Fonz snapped his finger..." Anyway, where was I at on... Oh, a snap. It's a different deal now. So he snapped. He said, "Hey, we're going to start reading a scripture every night and then talk about it." Gosh, I was so thrilled. And she immediately snapped back and said, "I would love that." Because there's... You better be a peacemaker when your son's 18 years old dating a girl that he's in love with. Better have some peace. If not, you'll kill the kid. But you got to teach him right, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I want peace. I want to be a... I'm constantly, when people are having issues in relationships, I'm the first one. No. Just forgive that, man. That was all just said in jest, or let it go over your head in one ear and out the other. Don't get all beat up over that. That will cause divorce or all the terrible D words. Distract, deception, etc. No. Be a peacemaker. Let God tend to things. Don't try to tend to them yourself. There's a time again, though, to say the word. If you speak this word, I'm telling you, it'll make people free. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. And y'all listen to me. Even though we're experiencing the signs of the times, we're in the end of the end days. We still have to... I want the blessing. I won't get so bogged down with all the issues going on that we see on the news. No, let's just believe God. Let's pray for peace. I want peace. Reconciliation, praise God. But then when it's time to fight, though, you better be ready. But we only fight with the Word. We stand on the truth. And we stand on the truth, it will make us free. in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just a great time this morning. It's a pleasure that we can learn about these things, about all the Beatitudes. And there's a couple more we just want to study out, sir, because I want to be blessed. We're your kids, sir. So we want to seek everything about your kingdom that now is our kingdom because Jesus is Lord. So thank you for the word, sir. And we receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus, the one we've been talking about, the one that literally spoke these words in red. When they're in red, Jesus said them himself. Even though everything else is inspired by God that men and women wrote, Jesus is the one was talking about being blessed. But do you know him, Jesus? Is he the Lord of your life? If you left this earth and died, and the Bible is true, and you stood before God, listen, y'all, every one of us are going to stand individually before God Almighty. That it's called the Great Judgment Day. Everybody thinks we're in judgment now. No, we're not. The only thing we're going to be judged about is Jesus Lord or not. The only way to go to the Father, according to John 14, in heaven, is going to be through Jesus. That's why he died. He's the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then he talks about us. Whoever in this place or at the sound of my voice, whosoever believes on him, Jesus, will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Have you ever done that? Have you called on Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Romans 10:9. If you'll confess Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you've done that and you stand before God on that judgment day, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because Jesus was your Lord. Enter into the rest of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, heaven. Come on into heaven. But what preachers don't talk about a lot that I do, if you reject God and you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, and you die and stand before God, he has to say, depart. Hell was not made for us, y'all. It was made for Satan and his demons that thought they were God. But that old sin nature came. Jesus died, though, and redeemed us from it. Now it's time to serve him. And if you serve him, he's our only way to get to heaven. That's why we ask Jesus, not a church, not a preacher. We ask Jesus to come into our life. Have you done that? If you haven't, we're going to pray a prayer right now. All the believers in here are going to pray it with you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, in other words, if you died and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell and hadn't thought about it, I want you to think about it now and choose heaven by asking Jesus to come into your life. And the believers, again, we're all going to pray it with you, but we're going to pray it out loud. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray a prayer that I'm going to pray. You just repeat it. But when you repeat it out loud, mean it. And I'm telling you, we're going to ask Jesus to come into your life. I did it 1979, May the 10th. I gave my life to Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus, do it right now by praying this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord. I make you my Savior right now. I need you in my life. I pray that you have been raised from the dead, and I believe it. And today I'm saved. Come into heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live on this earth, I'm going to have heaven here. I need peace, so I walk in it. I need joy, so I live by it. And I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, you prayed that prayer for the very first time. I want you to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're standing or sitting, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the very first time this morning and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up with boldness. And the reason I have you raise your hand and declare it before men is the Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father. In other words, we're not ashamed that Jesus Christ is our Lord now. And that's why we have a Bible. The Bible is Jesus. It's the Word. And Jesus is all this Bible is. It's all. That's why we study the Bible. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up at the count of three with boldness in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you, God. I appreciate, sister. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Honored. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. Thank God for new family members. But listen, lots of us have raised our hand in church and gave our hearts to Jesus, which means we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. So when we're hurting, we need each other. Amen? And so let's continue to serve God because you want to be blessed. Amen? Y'all have a good time this morning?